Well, good morning, everyone. Jesus, the name above all names.
Yes.
Are you thankful?
Yes.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for your blessings beyond measure. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming all the way down from heaven to tabernacle with us, to be one of us so we could be your kinsman redeemer, so we could be redeemed, so we would have forever a high priest like us. There's nothing we have ever gone through or will go through, no thoughts or fears or anything else that you don't know so well and can relate so perfectly. So guide us this morning as we open your word once again, and may we really not only celebrate a Thanksgiving on Thursday, but just thankfulness this morning, and really thankfulness every day, every moment, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, turn to Proverbs chapter 8, and I got to share with you, I have never been blessed by this chapter like I was blessed this morning, so I thank you for taking it out of just a daily devotion kind of realm, as Proverbs has been. You know, many of you may have used it as a devotion, so this would be the proverb you would read on the 8th of every month, and that's good. But it's a little bit like trying to really be nourished with a snack. Devotions to me are great, but they're more like snacks. And if you spend enough time on a devotion, you can get something out of it. But I read Proverbs 8 many times, and I never really got over the fact that I thought it was from Solomon. And I don't have a very high regard of Solomon, but it's getting higher. But we've got something here in chapter 8 that is truly remarkable to me, and I think you will see it as well. This is a personification of wisdom as it is in Christ. As it is in Christ. And if you just look at your notes for just a minute and follow along with this as I read this introduction here, I think it'll become a little more clear maybe. Now, as we get into chapter 8, he begins to speak about wisdom. He personifies wisdom so that as he talks about wisdom, we actually see a personification of Jesus Christ. For in Christ, the Bible says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now think about that verse. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. Where is our wisdom? Who is our wisdom? What is wisdom? Well, it's Christ. All of the treasures of wisdom are hidden in him. So when you talk about wisdom, you talk about the Lord. We read also about the cross in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For Christ did not send me to baptize, Paul speaking, but to preach the gospel, not with words, wisdom of words, but lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. But to those who are called, who's called? You are, we are. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, listen to this, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So when we talk about how great wisdom is, we're not talking about wisdom really as an abstract kind of thing that I get wisdom, you get wisdom, and isn't this great? I see another whole dimension of Christ here that I didn't see before because I hadn't really separated wisdom into being really a personification of him. And it's a little bit like when we went through the Song of Solomon, I saw the love of God, the love of Christ in another dimension almost that I'd never seen before. It's just, it was so good. And that's what the word is, isn't it? It's always revealing more to us. And so as we go through this chapter this morning, you will see the advantages, I guess I'll say, and the superiority of wisdom over lack of wisdom in so many dimensions here. And so I hope it comes through to you as it is in the scripture there. And I hope you get out of this more than just Solomon's wisdom or wisdom of man, because wisdom of man is nothing. Wisdom of man is nothing except what's been given to us from God, right? And he is wisdom. And his word is wisdom. Amen. We don't treat this like a book. Maybe we do treat it like a book, but it really isn't. It's something far above that. And so I don't know how much time you're spending in this, but I can guarantee you it's not enough. Look at this last week. How many hours were you really seriously meditating on the Word of God? Versus how many hours were you stimulating yourself with all kinds of experiences and maybe some good things? Maybe you saw some good movies. Maybe even went and saw Bonhoeffer yesterday. I don't know. But whatever you do in movies, you're going to, compared to the time you can spend in the Word, is far, far second best, in my opinion, or in good books. There's a lot of good books out there, and I'm not against reading good books, but it doesn't compare to this. Now, if you read this just like a book, you don't get much out of it. But if you dig in it and dig in it and dig in it, as you know, it is just so unbelievably rich, and it just is so revealing. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 8 here just a minute. Proverbs chapter 8. We have a personification both in chapters 8 and 9. Chapter 9 has some other things in it at the end about the immoral woman again, folly and so forth. But chapter 8 is just wisdom. And it's entitled in my Bible, The Excellence of Wisdom. So verse 1 says, does not wisdom cry out? And understanding lift up her voice. So we usually have the wisdom and the understanding linked together. And notice where the position is. She takes her stand on top of the high hill. Now, top of the high hill, remember those words when we come to our closing song today, because there's another message there as well. But she takes her stand on top of the high hill beside the way where the path meets. She cries out at the gates of the entry to the city. She cries out at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call. You hearing wisdom call you? Actually, it's Christ. Are you hearing Christ call you? To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Wow. O you naive ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of what? Of excellent things. Can you hear wisdom speaking? Not too well, but I can hear Jesus speaking. Yes, speaking wisdom. I will speak of excellent things from what? From the opening of my lips will come right things. Wow, really? How much of that excellent things came out of my lips this week? Or today? For my mouth will speak truth. And the opposite of that is what? Wickedness is an abomination to my lips, is it? Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Wow. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. And we're speaking of Jesus. We're speaking of wisdom here. They are all plain to see. I'm sorry. They're all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Now a comparison. Receive my instruction, my knowledge, and my wisdom. Receive my instruction and not silver. So instruction preferable to silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, So we got instruction, knowledge, and wisdom better than silver, gold, and robes. That's pretty good, isn't it? And all things one may desire. All the things one may desire. How much is that? All things which one may desire cannot be compared with her. Wow. Or with Christ. And isn't that easy to understand when you kind of look at it from Christ's standpoint? Because wisdom is still kind of nebulous to me. It's not really living. Christ is alive. Christ in us. We're in Christ. Verse 12, continuing the personification, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Underline verse 13 again. I say that every week. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. How many times is the fear of the Lord in the Bible, do you think? Well, if you look it up, it's 27 times. How many times is the fear of the Lord in Proverbs? Over half the times it is in the Bible, 14 times in the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs hammers home the fear of God. Now you may say, well, I'm concerned about fear. Well, fear is kind of like a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire, isn't it? He is. That's what the Bible says. Now, a consuming fire, that's the reason you drove here in a car this morning, because a fire would temper the steel, right? But on the other hand, if you're of wood, hay, and stubble, what happens to the consuming fire? You burn. So it's not that the fire is so good and so bad. It's what it's all about. And so the same kind of thing here with the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord, I'm talking about the reverential trust, his awe. He is just so awesome. And he has chosen you. He has sealed you. He has bought you. And now you're different. You're not just like the world. You can't do the things of the world. You're so special, so super special because of what he has done for you. And you fear him for that. Do you really have fear of grieving the Holy Spirit? Oh, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. How much do you fear grieving the Holy Spirit? Now here, the fear of the Lord. Now we had the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've had the fear of the Lord is knowledge. We've had the fear of the Lord is understanding. Here we have the fear of the Lord is what? To hate evil. Link those together. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now we're talking about wisdom. But I go clear right to Christ right away in that kind of a thing, really, and to the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now listen, what goes? Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. That pretty well says it, doesn't it? Pride, arrogance, evil way, perverse mouth. Aren't those all grossly ugly in other people? Oh, they sure are. Well, how about looking in a mirror, Phil? Pride, arrogance, evil way, perverse mouth, I hate. Lord, help me to hate it more in me. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I have understanding. I have strength. Those are all good qualities, aren't they? Understanding, strength, sound counsel, sound mind. By me, kings reign. And rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, really, and seek those who seek me. Diligently will find me. So verses like this, if I'm thinking of an abstract quality of wisdom, it doesn't do much for me. But if I'm thinking about that as Christ, and the wisdom that he gives me and that he is encompassed in him. I love those who love me and I seek those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. So you want riches and righteousness that endure? You must be in Christ. And there is the wisdom in that. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold. Wow, that's good. And my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Is your soul, or the treasuries of your soul, filled this morning? Have you been filled with Him? Are you in Him? The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way. Now we're going to have several verses here all about the all-encompassing, really, time, or so to speak, of wisdom of the Lord. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way. When was that? When was the beginning of the Lord? It was before the beginning. At the beginning of His way. Before His works of old. That goes back, doesn't it? How long did Christ go back? I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Wow. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. Now we've got, I think, eight whens in here. But the before is also a timing aspect. From is a timing aspect. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled. Before the hills, I was brought forth. Now there's no way a man could write any of this, right? No way. Any of you been around since before the beginning? Before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. Wow. But it doesn't end there. We got another bunch of whens here. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep. We got creation all over here again, don't we? When He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth. It's kind of like all those questions God was asking Job, isn't it? And of course, Job couldn't answer any of them. Because man can't answer any of those questions, really. Verse 30, then I was beside Him as a master craftsman, rejoicing always before Him. Can you think of wisdom rejoicing? Well, if you put it in terms of Christ, you can. Rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in His inhabited world. Wow. And listen to this. And rejoicing in, or my delight was with the what? Us, the sons of men. That certainly is true. How could He rejoice in us? How can He love us? It's just as when you start to think those things through, you just realize, oh, I'm just nothing, but I'm everything because of Him. If you're not in Christ, you're nothing. If you're in Christ, you're everything. I hope that would spur us on to be even stronger witnesses than we have been. Because when you start thinking that through, can you imagine an unbeliever what they're missing? Can you imagine what an unbeliever is going to miss eternally? Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. For he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Wow. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Well, Father, we thank you for this powerful word of yours. Wherever we are, it just seems so unbelievably great and rich. But we get a view of you, Lord, that is just so clear here. Wisdom personified. So we thank you. We praise you. But I'd like to close today with a hymn. The second verse says, "Be thou my wisdom." Be thou my wisdom. I thought that was very fitting, and it turns out that this hymn is 1,600 years old. It's all about St. Patrick, really, in a way, because he was on a high hill, as we read about here earlier about the high hill. And the local king there in Ireland had proclaimed as a Druid holiday, nobody could light a fire. And Patrick got up early in the morning and went to the highest hill he could find, and he lit this fire. And that prompted this to be written. They've since lost it. They don't even know who wrote it. It's just anonymous. But I thought it was kind of fitting on Be Thou My Vision, and thinking as to the aspect of Be Thou My Wisdom. So let's sing this together, if we may. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. Oh, help us to be in you all this day. And thank you for the manifold blessings that you give each one of your children. And help us to be very clear as to the difference between being saved and unsaved. It's not just a little difference, it's everything. So, Lord, those in our lives that we don't see you in yet, may we be diligent in praying for them, Lord.
Yes.
And help us to be that witness that would just give them such a hunger for you as they see it in us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.